About 15 years ago, Susan and I went out to San Francisco for a while. We were out there a week or two, and so we went out to, you know, vacation, see the sights. While we were in San Francisco, we just walked around, took the streetcar, the buses, all that system. It's great. But when we wrapped up San Francisco, we rented a car so that we could drive up to Sacramento area. We had some friends there we wanted to see back from high school, college days. And then we came back down and went down to the Monterey area, Carmel, Pebble Beach. Pebble Beach was there. And then Big Sur, and made our way back into San Jose and did all these things. And it was a great trip. We had a wonderful time. And saw some of those incredible sights ever. But when we rented this car, it didn't take long for us to realize we really didn't know where we were going. And one of my friends had loaned me, this was pre-smartphone days. You know, I know you're addicted to the blue dot, but this was before there was a blue dot. And someone had loaned me a GPS of some sort, a Garmin, a TomTom. I don't know. It did not speak California. That's all I know. And what would happen, it would give instructions, they'd be wrong. I found myself on the wrong freeways, in wrong towns, going the wrong way on a one-way street. It just seemed like every day we were getting stuck and having to turn around and backtrack and figure our way out. And it just was a constant hassle, you know. And even the GPS was unable to save us in this deal. And it was tough because my manhood was taking a pretty serious hit. In this whole deal, and it just wasn't working. I was getting a little frustrated, and in all honesty, Susan was getting frustrated. It's not that I could just sense it. Men, am I right? You understand this? The passenger doesn't have to say anything for you to get. Sometimes they do, but they don't have to realize they're getting. And I could tell there was some frustration. There was a little irritation. I was getting frustrated about 3 days into it. Finally, I kind of pull off. We gotten lost yet again. And I just had to stop. I said something along these lines. I said, look, I've never been here before. I have no idea where we're going, okay? And I don't know how we're supposed to get there. And we're making it up as we go. And either we're going to have to see this as an adventure into the unknown and be okay with the fact that we don't know what we're doing, or we're going to kill each other before we get out of here, right? And it was just... I may have said it nicer or whatever, but essentially it was just like we've got to choose to laugh because we don't know what we're doing, and every time we make a wrong turn, or it's going to be miserable, absolutely miserable. And that changed everything for us. I mean, as we went forward, when we got lost, we just laughed and turned around and went on the next direction and didn't worry about it. It became an adventure. But it was this journey into the unknown. And for the last 15 years, I have thought about that and used that illustration over and over and over again with myself, with other people, because we're all journeying into the unknown. Every one of us are. I don't think there's anybody in this room that is not facing some unknown issue in the future, right? There's something going on. I mean, over the last couple of weeks, Susan and I both, several of our other friends, we have had health scares with parents, and we begin to look at the view, kind of like, I don't know what the future looks like in taking care of our parents. Some of you have had your own health care issues. You've ended up getting a word from a doctor. You've had to go in to see the doctor. There's been some situation you've had to face, and you look at it, it's like, I don't know what the future holds on this. Some of you are changing jobs, or you want to change jobs, or you're in between jobs, or whatever it is, and you look at the future. You know kind of what you want it to be, but you have no idea really how this is going to work out. Some of you guys are pregnant, or you're about to have a baby, or you just had a baby, and you're looking at the future going, and you're all excited and giddy about it, but you have no idea. You kind of like going, I don't know, how am I going to be a parent, right? I mean, we just got an update from the search team, from Shannon. You know, we're looking forward as a church. We know what the last 2.5 decades look like. But we start thinking of envisioning Trinity with a different pastor. We have no idea. It's all a journey into the unknown. And I'm working through my own kind of journeys into the unknown, because all of this unknown feels like you're jumping off a cliff, doesn't it? You jump, but you don't know for sure what's out there. Well, over the last 3 or 4 months, for me, as I've worked through my own unknowns, the Lord has continued to use Abraham to guide me and encourage me and correct me and direct me. And what I want us to do is to spend the next few weeks taking a look at Abraham, kind of in this journey into the unknown. I'm calling it the far country, the series of the far country, because God calls him to this country that he's never been to before. It's a journey into the unknown. And because every one of us, again, all of us, every individual in this room is facing unknowns. So how do we do that? So we're going to take a look at Abraham. And Abraham is the father of faith, okay? He's the father of faith, not the father of the faith, really the father of faith. And you know, several billion people, way over half the people in the world, think of Abraham as the father of their faith, the wellspring of their faith. Jews, Christians, and Muslims all look to Abraham as the father of the beginner, of the wellspring of their faith. And so well over half the people in the world that live on this planet look to Abraham as the father of their faith. But he's also the father of faith because when you look through the scriptures, when we read through our Bible, over and over again, almost every book refers to Abraham because of his faith. He's the role model of faith. He's the example that's used over and over again of what it looks like to walk by faith, to live trusting God. And so Abraham's faith journey teaches us about our own faith journey into the unknown. Now, I'm going to call him Abraham almost all of the whole time, but when we meet him in the scriptures, the passage we'll look at in a minute, his name is Abram. And God later changes his name to Abraham. Now, Abram means exalted father. And so when we meet him, he's about 75 years old. He's got no kids, and God makes a promise of a child, and eventually God changes his name from Abram to Abraham, from exalted father to father of a multitude, which is really fairly ironic, because even at that point, he has no kids. And so he has multiple journeys into the unknown and waiting and all of this. So he's a great example, a model for us, and we can learn a lot from how to live by faith in the unknown. So grab your Bible. Go to the first book, Genesis chapter 12. We're looking at the 12th chapter, and that's when it actually shows up a little in verse chapter 11, but we're going to skip that part. And we're going to really look at two passages today, one in Genesis 12 and another one in Hebrews 11, and because they all talk about Abraham. And really, we're looking at one verse that is then explained a little more in the New Testament. But look at verse 1. It says, "The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you." Okay, that's really, this is what we're looking at today. Now I'm going to go ahead and read a few more verses to flesh that out, but that's where we're headed. All right, and then God makes some promises. He says, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran, and he took his wife Sarai. We know her as Sarah, because God changes her name too. So he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give all of this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai in the east. And then he built another altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And then Abraham set out and continued toward the Negev. And what you pick up is this beginning of this journey. He's moving around. He's heading to this land. Now, put a piece of paper here in Genesis 12, and if you don't mind, turn over to Hebrews 11. And that's like about 95% of the way through your Bible. It's all the way towards the end. And in Hebrews chapter 11, now chapter 11 in Hebrews is the hall of faith, if you will. It's the hall of fame of people walking by faith and teaches us what it looks like to walk by faith. And so you would expect Abraham to get some love in that chapter, which he does. And I want you to look at three verses, verses 8, 9, and 10. Look at what it says. By faith, by faith, Abraham, when called, now listen to this, when called to a place he would later receive as inheritance, obeyed and went, follow this, even though he did not know where he was going. There's the unknown. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Both passages tell us the same thing. On the one hand, God says, go, and I'll tell you when you get there. And the other one says he went to a place he'd never been before. See, and that's because God's method, the way he works in our lives always, God's method is to lead us into a journey, lead us on a journey into the unknown. That's what he does. It's just the way God works. You go, I'll show you when you get there. The instructions are really pretty simple. It's not a complicated command. It's not a complicated call. There are really only two parts to this whole thing. God says, I need you to leave and I need you to go. I need you to leave. I need you to arrive. I need you to leave your country, your people, your father's household, and I need you to go to a land that I will show you. It's not complicated. Leave one land, arrive at another land. But God's directions are not very precise. They're not real clear. The leaving is clear. Leave this specific place. Leave this specific area. Leave this specific city. And then go to somewhere. Go somewhere, and I'll show you what it is when you get there. And Hebrews lays it out. He did not know where he was going. This is the only time in all of history, in the history of humanity, this is the only time that when a wife said to her husband, do you know where you're going? Are you sure you're going the right way? And he said, God only knows. God only knows. And that's what's going on. God only knows. Abraham doesn't know. Where are you going? I don't know. What are you doing? I don't know. Hey, Abraham, you're 75 years old. Yep. And you're packing. Yes, I am. Where are you going? I don't know. You're going to take all these people with you? Yep. Where are you going? Don't know. How will you know when you get there? I don't know. Which way are you going to start? Well, I thought I'd go that way. What if it's the wrong way? I guess we'll figure that out. Abraham, where are you going? Don't know. Well, have a great trip. Right? You're 75 years old, and you need correction. This is always God's method. It's his method for every one of us in this room. It's not just Abraham. It's you. How many parts of your life when you look forward right now are you saying, I really don't know how that's going to work? I really don't know what's going to happen next. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. Every one of us have areas like this. Family, work, marriage, kids, health. Every one of us do. And every one of us are on a need-to-know basis. And you'll find out when you need to know. God's method is always a journey into the unknown. A handful of years ago, I went to a leadership conference. It was a conference designed to teach us to be leaders so we would be much better leaders and have leadership skills so that we could lead well. And so one of the leadership experts got up front and he said, look, the task of a leader is really very simple. Your task is to take people from here and move them to there. It's not hard. You have to define here and know where here is, and then you have to paint a clear picture of there, and then you need to take people from here to there. And according to that definition, God has some real significant leadership challenges. Because he's really clear on here. Here is your country. Here is your people. Here is your father's household. And there is somewhere. And you need to take your people from here to somewhere. And I'll let you know when you get there. Just start walking. God's method is always and forever to lead you and me into a journey into the unknown. Why? Because God's purpose never changes either. God's purpose is to take us to the place where I will trust him alone. Trust him alone. God leads us into the unknown so that we will turn to him for everything and in every way. And men and women, the honest truth is this, is that as long as you have something to depend on other than God, God will be your last resort. How many times do we say, kind of in agony and fear and desperation, saying, I don't know what to do. All I have is God. All you ever had was God. The rest of it is smoke and mirrors and shadows. But we cling to it, and we hang on to it desperately, because we do not ever want to be in the place where we have nothing left but God. We want something that we can control, something that we can manage, something that we can hang on to. And so God, in his goodness, continues to put us in places where all we have is him. Because all you have is him. The rest is an illusion. And so in Genesis 12:1, God just says, look, I need you to, you go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. And he makes it really clear. Leave your country. Your country is your place. It's the place you are comfortable. It's the place you are at home. It's the place you are secure. And he says, leave your people. These are your peeps, your relationships, your security, the people you count on. Leave your father's household. This is the place of safety. You know, growing is the home that you have. And he says, leave that. Leave it all. And head out into a journey into the unknown. It just strikes me that in Genesis, God says, I need you to leave three things: country, people, father's household. And then we get one thing, some vague thing, some place, somewhere, somehow. And that's about how it always feels, isn't it? Like you're giving up three times as much as you're gaining. When you're jumping into the unknown, you're leaving all of this stuff. But God's purpose is always to take us away from the things that we depend on so that we only have the person to depend on. See, you and I, we've constructed our little lives. We have constructed a life that is somewhat dependable, where we all have these structures in place. We have our jobs and we have our homes. We have our families. We have our relationships. We have a church with a pastor that we kind of like, but it's kind of leaving. And we have all of this stuff, right? And these are the things that we lean on. They're the things that, honestly, that's what we really trust. And then God says, I need you to leave those things. So I'm going to take you to a place where all I really have is you. It's been my observation that you spend about the first half of your life accumulating skills, accumulating family, accumulating purpose and influence and kids and money and spouses, and you're just accumulating. But in the second half of your life, you spend it losing all of the things that you've gained. Losing health, losing family, losing resources, losing purpose, losing influence, losing control. And that's by design. It's because it's taking you on this path that takes you to a place where all you have left is God. So that in your final moments on this earth, you are trusting him more than you ever have, because he's all that you have. So that the move from this place to that place is almost seamless. You know, man, just a total aside here. I was in a thing. I was meeting with this consultant, some, you know, business churchy consultant about 10 years ago, and I was with a group of guys, and he stops and he makes this amazing statement. He was older, so he was probably 25 years older than I was at the time, and he says, "Men, let me tell you now, to invest all you have into the relationship you have with your wife." And he says this, because the farther you go along, that's all you'll have left. Because you're going to lose your position, you're going to lose your influence, you're going to lose all of these friends, and he says, invest in that. Because men and women, God's purpose is to take you to a place where all you have is him. And that's why you have all these unknowns in your life. They're all there as opportunities for you to learn. Now, all of that sounds terribly depressing, right? And but here's what God knows about the journey, okay? Here's what God knows. Because the journey into the unknown becomes the road to multiple things. Let me mention three. It becomes the road to stronger faith. First and foremost, it becomes the road to stronger faith. Your faith is a muscle. It's not a gift. It's not like, oh, here, let me give you the gift of faith. No, your faith is developed. It's exercised. It's grown. It is stretched. You want stronger faith. You've got to be put in a place where you have to stretch your faith. It just works that way. And so if you want to grow your faith, then you have to move into the unknown. There is no other way to trust God other than to be in a place where you have to trust God. And we all want stronger faith. We all want to be the man or the woman who just somehow, God, I trust you at all times. And we want God to wave a wand and give it to us. But if you want stronger faith, it's in the unknown. And the more you're in the unknown, the stronger your faith gets. The more it moves you, the more confident you are in the Lord. Because, see, when you get the call from the doctor that something's not right, man, your faith is in the gym. And it's going to work, and it's getting stronger. When you find out you've got a child with a learning disorder, and school is going to be hard for them all the way through, man, you start praying in ways you haven't prayed forever. Man, your faith is growing. When you get called into the office to find out your position is being eliminated, yeah, you're going to get a severance package, and isn't that wonderful? But in that moment, you start going, God, I need you. I need you. See, and your faith grows in that moment. And the second thing that happens is it becomes the road to a deeper experience with God. Right, it's when you move from I know about God to God, I know you. It's this confidence that in the middle of, even though you feel unlovable and you're failing, all this stuff, that God loves you still. There's a grace there. You begin to realize that God is completely for you, even when life is falling apart around you, that He cares, that He's moving, that He's directing, He's taking you somewhere, and God becomes personal for you. And also it becomes the road to blessing others. It's the road to blessing others. Now, a minute ago, Eric was stood up on the... How many of you guys got kind of fired up about what God is doing through Eric in Liberia? How many of you kind of going, oh my gosh, this concert thing, that's amazing. The whole country's going to hear about Jesus in this... And did you kind of go, wow, that's cool. You were blessed because He stepped into the unknown. You with me on that? You step into the unknown, God starts moving out in people's lives all around you in ways you could never imagine. You know, because that's what He tells to Abraham. He says, you go, I will make you a blessing. I will make you a blessing. It's going to just have multiple. How many of you were here last Sunday? Wasn't it great? You were blessed because there were a handful of people on the creative team who said, I got a crazy idea. I don't know how this is going to work. This is completely unknown. We don't do these kind of things normally around here. I don't know how it's going to work. You know why they came in here and prayed over all the chairs all the time? They were utterly terrified. Because what if we said, hey, you got these cards, do something with them. What if nobody moves? You were blessed because a handful of people said, let me step into this. Let me walk into this unknown and let's see what happens. But here's the problem. And I don't even have to tell you this, but you're... We hate the unknown. We absolutely hate the unknown. We like the known. We don't mind a surprise party here or there, but we don't want to live in the unknown, right? And here's why. Three reasons you can answer them yourself. Number one, we like our comfort zone, right? We like our comfort. We don't want a whole lot of surprises. We kind of like to know what's going on next. We like to have some certainty in our life. We like some security. You're sitting in a movie. It gets kind of scary, and the person next to you leans over and goes, what's going to happen? We want to know what's going to happen. We don't like surprises, right? But the unknown is unknown. And like when, how many times you've caught yourself thinking your life's been all wonky a little bit, and you say, it's kind of been abnormal. You say, I can't wait till life gets back to, right, what is normal? It's the unknown. What you're really saying is, I want to get back to my comfort zone so I can go home and sit in my comfy chair and my comfy pants and watch my comfy shows. We like comfort. Let me give you a second reason it's hard. Is that I trust myself more than anybody else, including God. I really trust me. I trust me. There's an old saying, you know, I don't know if it really is from the Quakers or whatever, but it's everyone is crazy but me and thee. And I'm a little worried about thee. See what it's saying? I'm the only sane one in the room. I'm the only one I really trust with my life. And so you kind of say, oh, but isn't God good? I can trust him with my life. Yes, only these pieces. I'll handle everything else, God. And frankly, I'm going to give myself the important pieces and you get the fringe. Because we don't trust well. And the third reason is I want to be in control. It is just that simple. I want to be in control. I don't want to give the steering wheel to anybody else. I want to be in control of my life because then I can count on me to do what's best. So we hate the unknown, men and women. Every one of us do, and yet that's where we live and that's where we grow. So what do we do with that? Let me give you three thoughts on how to walk into the unknown from Abraham. And we're going to talk more about this over the next several weeks, obviously. You know, kind of what happens when you... Anyway, we'll get to that in the next several weeks. But the first thing is this. Once you move into the unknown, your only hope is to lean on the promises of God. When God calls... And when you look... If you're back in Genesis 12, just take a glance at it. Because, see, there's that great verse where God says, I want you to go, to leave, you know, country people and father's household. I want you to go to a place I'm going to show you. And then look at every verse that follows it for the next few verses. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. That is God saying, here, Abraham, as you go, I've got a few promises for you. Here is what I am going to do. And it's an unconditional promise. It's not... There are in the Bible some if-then promises. If you do this, then I will do that. Right? But that's not this. This is unconditional. God says, you go and I'm going to do this. Because see, sometimes what God says, if you will do this, then I will do that. But what he's saying here is you go and you can count on me to do this. I'm going to do this no matter what. Right? I will do this. And God, what God is trying to say is, you can count on me. Here are the promises I'm giving you. And the Bible is filled with I wills from God where he says what he is going to do for us. And you remember teaching your kids to jump off the diving board? Right? I mean, you get down on, you're down in the pool and they're on the board going, jump to me, I'll catch you. I'm right here, I'm not going to let you drown. Right? Then this is what you do with your kids. What God is saying is, I'm right here, I will do all of these things. You can jump into the unknown. I got you. I got you. When the unknowns come, you got to lean on the promises of God. Secondly, you got to learn to live in a tent. You got to learn to live in a tent. Over back in Hebrews verse 9, talking about Abraham, says, by faith, he made his home, he moved to the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents. Oh, and by the way, as did Isaac and Jacob, his son and grandson, who were heirs with him of the same promise. To live in a tent is to live as a nomad. You're a wanderer. You have no roots. It's not, see, what we want God to do is say, I want you to leave the known. I'm going to take you to the unknown, and it is going to become known, and you're going to leave this house, but I'm going to give you another house. And God says, no, I'm going to put you in a tent. It's living with an open hand. God, whatever you want, that's what I'll do. Wherever I go, you want me to go, that's where I'll go. It's an open hand. It's not, because we want roots. We want stability. We want the new, I want to leave this comfort zone so I can have a new comfort zone. And God says, I'm going to keep you in the unknown. I'm going to keep moving you around so that you have to depend on me. By the way, just a little aside here. When he says that, hey, Abraham, you're going to be a tent, and by the way, your kids are going to be a tent, your grandkids are all going to be in a tent. When you decide to follow the call of God, it impacts everybody around you. They didn't get the call. You got it. But they're all impacted. When Abraham went, you remember when everybody was going, hey, where are you going? I don't know. There were a whole mess of people going with him. They were going, where are you going? I don't know. My master's crazy. We're going somewhere. I don't know where. When you walk by faith, other people end up having to look at you and go, I'll follow you. I don't know where you're going. This is crazy. See, if you go on a trip, you travel, whatever, business, whatever, you go, you stay in the Holiday Inn, the Best Western, wherever it is. But see, I know you. You didn't move in. You don't move into the Holiday Inn and start like going, you know, I don't really like this bed. I'm going to go buy a new bed for the Holiday Inn room. You don't take these pictures off the wall and say, hey, let's go over to At Home and buy some new pictures for these. You don't take these. You don't remodel the bathroom. Why? Because it's temporary. men and women, this planet, this life, is all Motel 6. It is all Motel 6. We keep trying to turn it into a home, but it's all Motel 6. Right? To learn it, to live in a tent, is to live like you're passing through, and to stop trying to be comfortable in a place that's only temporary. It's not your home. Finally, you got to look beyond tomorrow. You got to look beyond tomorrow. Back in Hebrews, it says, "For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." It's really looking beyond this life. It's really what it is. And what it means is this. It is living with the confidence that God is taking you from here to there. He knows where there is. You don't get to know where there is. He's going to take you from here, and he's going to take you to there. He knows what he's doing, and there is a certainty about it. God is not going to take you halfway and abandon you. He's not going to take you somewhere and torture you. He's not going to make you go to Africa. You don't have to go to Africa to live in the unknown. Right, Eric? You got sick in the U.S. That's what cracks me up. You know, he's not going to abandon you. He's taking you somewhere. And it's good. It's good. Let's pray. Lord, as I look across the room and I see all the faces, and I just know some of the stories of the unknown. I know some of what you're doing in people's lives, with kids, family, jobs, and health, and future. Lord, I can see in the eyes of so many folks who are going, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how this is going to work out. And Lord, my hope is that today, that they would have a moment where they can say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. My life is not working the way I thought it would, but I'm going to trust you. Father, I thank you that you are so patient, that even when our faith is only halfway, only sometimes when we only trust you a little bit, and sometimes when we trust and then we stop trusting, we trust again, you're so patient with that. And I thank you, that Lord, that your plan for us is good, that you are for us and you are taking us to a good place. Because you know trusting you and knowing you is the very best. So we're grateful for that. So Lord, we love you and we trust you in our unknowns. In your name we pray. Amen.